What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. That man is Levin Black. It is Wednesday, July 15th. The sun is out. Where I am on the East Coast, we're melting because it's 95 billion degrees, Levin. I assume you're in the same boat.
Probably. I wouldn't know because I'm working nights. I don't really know what the weather is during the day. I have not been outside. I just woke up, so I have no clue. It was 73 degrees, and that was the dew point, apparently, this morning, because I had to have my heat on in order to keep my windows from fogging up due to the dew point. And I looked, and it was like, that would be why it's 73 degrees out. If I turn my heat off, it instantly fogs.
Well, things are about to heat up at the 49ers facility because the rookies are reporting to training camp on Saturday. I can't believe it, finally. The veterans are going to report a week after that. So what we wanted to do on this show, because training camp is going to start pretty soon, we're going to lead things off talking about the storyline in training camp that we are most looking forward to unfolding. But we're going to do it in a little bit of a different way. We're going to play a game called Fill in the Blank. I have written several provocative statements that are going to get Levin, put him in a box, hopefully, and get him to answer some questions. And we'll take your questions as well. We want to see your comments. Leave them in the chat. We'll get to as many as we can during the show.
You know damn well I can't be contained.
Oh, God. Are you ready, Mr. Black?
Yep.
All right. We'll start with that most basic question. The training camp storyline you are most excited about is what?
Well, I'm not exactly an excited person. So to me, it's injuries every single year. It's been the same answer for a decade now, basically. I'm excited to see how injuries unfold, and that excitement might turn into dread depending on how it goes.
I am excited about maybe there being one day where like everyone is back, because I feel like we never got to really see like the whole team last year. Like even in week one, Kittle got hurt early, and so we never got to see how it was all supposed to look. So that was one of many frustrating things.
You can go generic. The only other thing training camp you could really get excited for is rookies, because you don't get to know like how well is Mike Evans going to go. There's I guarantee you everybody's gonna say, oh, Mike Evans is looking great. Does it mean he's looking great? Yeah, probably it is Mike Evans, but we know from history almost all veterans get talked up during training camp. It's the rookies where does somebody show something where you know, hey, that guy's really doing something. You know, does the rookie running back look good? Does the rookie wide receiver actually emerge? Or does he fall into the back burner where you're reading, oh, he caught a pass from Mac Jones. Oh, he caught another pass from Mac Jones. That tells you, okay, he's not going to crack the top four.
Jason Ponting is watching the show. He comments, says Jordan Watkins is already in the blue tent. This is insane. That is a bummer because you know it's coming. But did you see the article from Vic Taffer in The Athletic? He says that pretty much everybody could be ready to go for training camp. Bosa is pretty far along in his recovery. Mykal Williams has made so much progress that the expectation is he'll be ready to return to the field very early at camp, if not the beginning, which I was thinking he was going to start the year on PUP. And, you know, we would see him somewhere closer to when he actually got hurt. That would be incredible if Mykal and Bosa and Collins, who had shoulder surgery, and Keon White, who also is making a ton of progress from the bullet wound he sustained shortly after the Super Bowl, if they are all back on the field for training camp right at the beginning or very early, that would be stunning considering what we thought we were going to be dealing with.
It would be stunning, and I think I'm in... Maybe it's PTSD, but I'm keeping my head in the sand until the season starts. Like I'm just like, yes, you're all back. That is awesome. Is there part of me that's going, is somebody rushing something? Yeah. Like George Kittle actually admitted that his doctor's been telling him, hey, slow down.
Well, that's true. But then I don't know if you saw today, somebody from the Browns who tore his Achilles in December is full go already for training camp. And it got me wondering, like, is an Achilles just not as big a deal as it used to be? Maybe it's not. I don't know.
It seems like it's going the way of the ACL. Yeah. There's been enough of it happening where it became something that doctors are having this surgery, multiple times a year on a star athlete. And they tried different things and they're figuring out this is the way in which we cut them and repair it. And this is the way in which they rehab it to where it's a 6-month injury. I was just finishing by saying we might be getting there. It seems like it, like Aaron Rodgers did return last year. And yes, he's slow, but is he any slower than he was before? Probably not.
Someone sent me an article on Twitter when Cam Akers was coming back from his Achilles, which remember he came back super fast. And they kind of did the same thing that they did with Brock, which was they used the internal brace, I guess, because part of the issue is that the rest of the Achilles sort of compensates and takes on more strain, and that can lead to slower healing. So I guess they use the internal brace to sort of take some of the pressure off the whole thing. So we'll see. My training camp storyline that I'm most excited about is Stribling. I want to see Dazon Stribling. He was taken. Everybody panned it. And then there was like a backlash to the panning of like, actually, he was going to go earlier than a lot of people thought. And I just want to get the chance to see him. I'm not looking for people to declare him a star right away. I just want to hear, you know what? He's as fast as he's supposed to be. He's big and he blocks his ass off. That's it. That's what I want to hear. And I know, like you said, and Michelle has said the same thing, like it doesn't really matter. I get all that. You know what? All I want in training camp is reasons to be excited rather than reasons to be bummed out. That's it. Now, I don't care if good training camp reports from Dazon Stribling don't mean he's going to be a star in the regular season. I still want him.
Yeah, he's more of a, what am I watching most in preseason? He's top of the list. Can he beat people one-on-one? Does he get catches in the preseason, or is this a case of, oh, he finished the preseason having played the equivalent of 2 full games and he has 4 catches for, you know, 48 yards? I'll be concerned if that's the case.
You could make an argument that the most important part of the year for especially the 49ers young players are like the first 4 days of training camp. If you can stay healthy through those first 4 days, it's like massive for you. Because that's when they're installing stuff and you get a chance to learn this stuff and you don't fall behind. So like all these little things were like, oh, this guy didn't practice and we're being extra cautious. It's like, damn, no, that's important. That matters. So in a weird way, I'm going to be like locked into the injury report in July and August.
I thought you were going a different route with why the first 4 days are so important. I thought you were going to say because in the first 4 days, Kyle Shanahan has decided whether you're going to get to play at all this season or not.
Right, that too. Like, you have to be out there. You have to be out there and healthy.
If you didn't learn some of the playbook between minicamp and training camp, you're toasted in the first day with Kyle Shanahan.
I said it when they went away after minicamp. I was like, your chance to earn a job with this team is right now in these 40 days. You can't get hurt in your training and you have to learn stuff cold because you got to come out of the chute fast. And that it's coming up. It is coming up for those players. So I hope they listen to us, which they should do all the time.
We should all be praying and rooting for, we don't need Trent Taylor to come out of retirement.
Oh, God. The most comical part about all of the Trent Taylor stuff was that they included, oh, Trent Taylor announced his retirement and celebrated with teammate George Kittle. It's like, who cares who he celebrate? Like, there's the fact that they had to mention that Kittle in Trent Taylor's retirement. So it was like, oh, God.
I'm sorry. He's not somebody that had enough of a career that you celebrate the end of it. I made it 7 years when I thought I was going to make it. Like, what are you celebrating? Like, I get it. I'm being a little bit of a jerk, but at the same time, like, this is not Mike Evans celebrating his retirement. This is a guy that essentially got 5 years worth of playing in the NFL in the last 2 years was already semi-retired.
I don't need a Trent Taylor retirement announcement. Like, I'm okay if I never realized that Trent Taylor retired. I thought he retired 2 years ago. All right, next question. Blank Levin is the 49ers player coming off surgery that will have the best year?
Well, I think you got to go with the guy with the most experience in coming off injuries, and it's got to be Nick Bosa. Like, if you're betting on somebody else, you got no real reason to do it. Nick Bosa has at least had the injury that he's had. and then come back and had a great season. So, like, you got to look at track record. You can say, well, he's older now. That's certainly true. There are reasons that it won't be him, but there are also reasons that it will be him. So that's who I go with.
I'm going to take the easy answer here. Like a lot of people in the chat have talked about, smells like foot in here. Fred Warner, just because he's coming off surgery, but he's 100% already. He was going to play in the NFC Championship game. He himself has said, I didn't have to rehab this offseason. I got to do my normal training routine, which is huge when it comes to how guys bounce back from this. And the fact that he was able to sort of put it behind him as early as he did means he's going to come back strong. Plus, this is the first major injury that he's had in his career. So you would think he'd be able to bounce back from that. I know it's a little bit of a cop-out because he got hurt and he sort of had the longest period to recover, if that makes sense. But that's okay. I'm taking an A. Sometimes the low-hanging fruit is the sweetest.
Yeah. I mean, Fred Warner is the box in this scenario, and I already said you can't contain me in the box.
Oh, God. All right. Let's move on.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
How about this one? The best sophomore player this year will be blank.
Upton Stout. I'm confident he's going to have a good season. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing on the outside more than we're expecting, which might be one of my answers for another question coming up. Mm. But, who else are you picking? You know what I mean? It would be hopium to say Mykal Williams. You don't know what he's going to be when he returns. You got, what, Alfred Collins after that? He's coming off surgery, too. So it's got to be Upton Stout. He did probably the best of the rookies last year, and all reports this offseason have been glowing for him.
Upton Stout was the focus of the 49ers in five this morning, the five-minute news update I do every morning, so I've got all the numbers in front of me. He, down the stretch last year, he was so much better. He allowed a passer rating of just 74.9 over the last eight games. He only allowed one touchdown all year. He is the second corner in the last 5 years, second rookie corner in the last 5 years, to record at least five passes defended and 10 quarterback pressures. And he only blitzed like 39 times last year. So it wasn't like he got to do it a ton, but when he did, he was effective, which is one of the few players on the 49ers last year that could actually say when they blitzed, they made somebody uncomfortable. Salah always sang his praises. Raheem Morris has already been talking him up this offseason, and he really hasn't even got to work with him that much. They seem to be really, really high on Upton Stout. It is a tough job. And I was thinking about this morning too, Levin. Slot corner has been a problem for this defense for years, since Jimmy Ward played it, really. I mean,
Quan Williams had one good year, and then everybody said, oh, they have a good slot for like the next 3 years that he started, but not really.
They remember Isaiah Oliver? He was the best nickel corner on the market, right? Remember that when they brought him in? That was a disaster. They just have really struggled to defend that spot. And it'd be nice if we had somebody there that, you know, wasn't an automatic completion when the other team threw a slot fade. I would really like that this year. I didn't pick Stout because I thought you might. So let me make the argument for Alfred Collins, who Robert Saleh just did a sit-down interview with Matt Maiocco and was talking up Alfred. He's always been a huge Alfred Collins guy. But Collins was hurt in February last year. He hurt his calf, remember? So he couldn't do anything. He was rehabbing, and he was transitioning to the NFL. That is a really tough combination for any rookie. You know, you're trying to adjust to the toughest competition you've ever faced, and you're out of shape because you had an injury that stopped you from really getting into football shape. So for a lot of the year last year, he was working himself into shape and then adjusting to life in the NFL. I am hoping that now, like you said, he did have shoulder surgery, which we haven't gotten a lot of details about. What was the actual injury? When did he have the surgery? You know, like, I'm surprised we haven't learned more about this. So I could be wrong because he could have spent this whole offseason rehabbing, but hopefully it wasn't something that did that. And he was able to train a little bit more now that he, you know, has experience in the league and knows what life in the NFL is like. But I'm hoping that if that is the case, that he could have a bounce back year coming in shape, ready to go. So I'll make the case for Alfred Collins as the best sophomore player this year.
Yeah, I mean, Upton Stout's the obvious choice. Outside of that, Alfred Collins is the one that's going to have the most opportunity. You know, he is going to have to start. They are pretty thin at defensive tackle, and you don't know whether they actually have two starting quality ones at this point. So
you only have one, at least.
Yeah.
I could say last year.
Right. So he's going to have a lot of opportunity. And on top of that, if the offensive line is, our defensive line is healthy, unlike last year where he played next to a bunch of scrubs, he's going to get to play against a top 10 pick from the year before and two Pro Bowl caliber players. So he's going to have opportunities. He'll be next to Micah Williams, OC, and Bosa. So that's another reason why he might look better, because he's not sitting there trying to hold up a defensive line that's garbage.
Yeah, God. They all hopefully could make each other better next year. Oscar Alfaro, YouTube channel member, shout out to all our YouTube channel members, says, is it crazy to think Jordan James does anything of consequence? That was like my number two thing I want to see in the, that's more of a preseason for me. I want to see Jordan James and Kalen Black run the football. I know Christian McCaffrey is not going to play. I just want to see them play.
Well, that's the thing that concerns me about Jordan James. Yes, they talked him up at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But then what did they do in the draft?
Took another.
If they were super confident about Jordan James, Kalen Black would not be on this team. I know they're different style of running backs, but running back is running back. If you're confident that Jordan James can be somebody that plays a fair amount of downs, and you also have Christian McCaffrey, you're not drafting a running back as early as Kalen Black was drafted. So I am interested to see what those two look like, but the writing is on the wall currently. Maybe it can get scrubbed off, but it's on the wall currently. The Jordan James is yet another in the long list of drafted. Everybody's excited as a rookie, and then you never really see them again.
As I was preparing for the show today, I was like, let me just go back into the Beast draft guide from 2025, and let me read what it says about Jordan James again. And everything that I read was essentially boiled down to really good player, can get to what's blocked, sometimes more, won't break a lot of home run runs, but a solid player that can catch the ball too. Like, and I was like, okay, so this is just a solid backup running back, which is fine. Like, okay, good. And if that's what he turns into, great. Because let's be honest, if Christian McCaffrey, you know, goes down due to injury this year or moves on after the season, whatever the case may be, they may go, maybe they go to more of a backfield by committee, like it was Tevin Coleman and, you know, Tevin Coleman and company with Kyle Shanahan early on in the tenure. And so if that's the case, they're going to need one of those guys to be a running back like that. So maybe that'll be him. But I want to see them. I just want to see them play.
Yeah. I mean, preseason will be interesting to see which one of them goes first and then which one of them looks better than the other one. Mm-hmm. Is there a clear difference between them?
And then
is it a scenario of, oh, well, Jordan James started it, because Christian McCaffrey's probably not going to play in the preseason. So is it Jordan James started, played the first quarter or the first half, didn't do much, and then Kalen Black comes in and looks good against the scrubs that are in the second half? You know, to where, like, if that's the scenario, you go, I don't really know. Like, Kalen Black looked better, but he also played against worse competition. Unless he comes in, and obviously if he comes in and it looks like a man playing against boys and he rips off ridiculous numbers, then it's easier to see. But if he comes in, you know, averages 5-6 yards a carry in 10 carries in the second half of a preseason game, it's going to be hard to truly evaluate that over whatever Jordan James does in the first half. I would assume Jordan James will get first crack. He will be the starting running back in preseason. If that changes in the second or third preseason game and it's Kalen Black, I would say there's your answer.
This may go a long way towards solving that question. The next one on the list, blank will win the starting job at left guard.
win is a subjective word in this. But I'll go with Robert Jones because he has experience.
That's what I was going to pick too, although something in my brain says that there won't be a winner of this. It'll just be the guy that's healthy. Like I think.
Well, yeah. I was more so thinking not necessarily health, but just this is the first guy we're going to throw at it. And halfway through week two, there's another guy that's inserted. And then in week five, somebody else has tried.
They may rotate the guys too in the games. We've seen them be willing to do that. So yeah. I mean,
it wouldn't be necessarily a bad strategy if none of them distance themselves from each other, or if none of them come out looking like that is a starting guy, then it probably is best to rotate them, because at least you gain some advantage from having a fresher guy out there.
Most of the time, if it's close, play the young guy. Tie goes to the young guy. Let's see what they could be. In this case, I think give me the guy that's going to be the steadiest, right? Give me the guy that's, maybe he doesn't have the higher highs, but if he can just avoid the lower lows, that's all exactly. I'm looking for at offensive line at that position. You know, you don't always need to have a 23-year-old guy, you know, who looks like he's going to be like the next great player for you. Just give me consistency. They had so many plays at left guard last year that just got blown up because of just flat out incompetence, quite frankly. So whoever it is, Robert Jones, I don't care if it's Toth, I don't care, whoever they want to put in there, just don't screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be more looking for who's the guy that gives me less of the dud plays.
Right.
You know, don't expect a really good left guard this season, but give me the guy that isn't going to be a turnstile on passing downs to where Brock Purdy's immediately under pressure. You know, give me the guy that at least you have a chance of seeing your play develop before the guy they're going against is affecting the play. That's what I'm looking for. Like you said, less of the lows.
Next up is a question that I asked Jason and Steph yesterday, but I like it, so I'm transferring it to our show as well. The narrative about the 49ers this year that won't come true is blank.
I struggled with this one. I don't have one that came to mind. Like, as I was reading the question, I thought, oh, that's something and then I got to the end. I was like, I don't have anything. I don't know that there's too many narratives about this team, because there's one, and I'm not willing to say it won't come true. And that's that they have too many injury prone players. I'm not willing to say that they stay healthy. That would be just a fool's errand at this point. I certainly hope so. I think there's a chance that they do, but I'm not going to sit here and say that won't come true. So this is one that I leave blank. I don't have an answer for it, because I think that's the only narrative following this team. It's a different team than before. It doesn't have the narrative that 2 years ago has. You know, I don't think you can say, unless you want to say that there's a narrative that they're the third best in the division, I think they probably finish better than third. I think they'll be first or second.
Okay, that would count.
But I don't think that that's a narrative. I think there's certainly a narrative of Seattle's the best team in the division, but I don't think there's much of a narrative of the Rams are definitely better than the 49ers.
Ooh, I think with the Myles Garrett thing, there is.
Maybe.
I'm going to go with, and if you want to say this isn't a narrative, that's fine, but the narrative about the Niners that won't come true is that Raheem Morris is going to suddenly make the safety play better. I hope that happens, but I think that more often than not, good coaches can take players that are good and make them great. I don't know that good coaches can take players that are bad and suddenly make them good. So this isn't meant to be a knock on Raheem Morris at all. I just think that more than likely the 49ers safeties are going to be different next year. I think they're going to be not having these same guys out there. And I think a lot of fans just think, oh, if you put Raheem Morris in there, now they'll be better because their safeties were good in Atlanta. I hope that happens. Of course. Do I expect it to? No.
I think the best way to put the coaching thing is coaches can make good players great and they can hide bad players.
Yeah.
If they have bad safeties, a good coach knows how to limit their exposure.
We saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Kyle Shanahan was hiding Jimmy Garoppolo. A lot of what he does poorly, Kyle tried to take off of his plate. Sometimes it worked. A lot of times it didn't. And then we saw when those things weren't hidden, what Jimmy Garoppolo was. And it was not a very good quarterback. By the way, no Jimmy Garoppolo announcement. We got a Trent Taylor retirement announcement. Nothing from Jimmy G.
Yeah, the Niners probably texted him and he hasn't responded.
Yeah, they can't get the retirement announcement because he can't text anybody back. That's well done. All right. Next up on the list, the over-under on sacks for Nick Bosa this year should be what?
Should always be, until he retires, 10.
I was going to put it at 9.
No.
Even coming
off, I know he's coming off injury, but if you are paid like he is paid, it is 10, period. If you don't get to double digit, you didn't have that good of a season.
So if he has 9 sacks, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, disappointed would be that. I won't necessarily be like, oh, he sucked. But if he doesn't get to 10 sacks, when you are an elite paid, especially a former defensive player of the year who is still at the age that you should be in prime years for a lot of these guys that have won defensive player of the year awards, it is double digit sacks. That is the bar that you have to cross. And to avoid criticism, I would say, if you don't get to 10 sacks when you're paid like he's paid and has the track record that he has, criticism will come and it will be deserved.
Joe Martinez says 13 minimum.
Yeah.
Damn. That is a high bar.
There's too much variance and luck, especially when it's not a speed pass rusher. Like, how many sacks does Nick Bosa get because the quarterback scrambled into him? You know what I mean? He's the type that has to get some of those. You have to have some luck. He doesn't have the speed. I think speed pass rushers, they chase down the quarterback. So if they have a good pass rush, they're getting the sack. Nick Bosa is going to be slower this year than he already was, and he was already, I think, below average in terms of speed for an edge rusher. So quarterbacks will be able to escape from him if the pass rush is not happening on the other side.
I will say right now I would take 13 sacks. Like, if you said I could for it today or take my
I would take double digit because it means, one, he was healthy, two, he did stuff. He hasn't had double digit in 2 years, so...
Yeah, 13 is, I would be super happy with 13 or 12. Honestly, even 12, I would be like, yes. Like, especially after they only had 20 as a team last year. If one guy has 12 this year, I would take it.
Yeah. Like I said, to me, it's double digit because it means he's healthy. And the last time he had double digit was what, 2024? No, 2023. Right? He had 9.5 and then he had injury last year.
That sounds right. I don't remember off the top of my head. This is a special shout out to Michelle Majuk, who revealed this last week that she puts ranch on her pizza. So, Levin, putting ranch dressing on pizza is what?
Pointless. It is. Eat pizza if you want to eat pizza. If you don't want to eat pizza, why are you putting ranch dressing on? You're wanting to eat pizza, so eat the pizza. I'm not a huge ranch guy. For instance, I say the same thing about wings. If I get wings, I want to taste the sauce. If I wanted ranch, I would just get ranch wings. Now, there are certain sauces. Buffalo and blue cheese go well together if you do very light, I would say. Like, I don't want to taste blue cheese over the buffalo, but it can be augmented and made better. But I don't use ranch with wings either. I use blue cheese if I use anything.
I totally agree. Got to have blue cheese with wings. Ranch dressing on pizza. What? And there's people in the chat supporting this. Alberto Soto, pizza and ranch.
Trey Lance did this and how'd it turn out for him, huh?
I gave him crap about it too when I interviewed him.
Yeah, I know. I remember giving you that question. I said, ask him if he does ranch on pizza. That is a very North Dakota thing.
I get. Well, Michelle's into it too. I don't understand. Smells like foot in here. That's a super common thing. Who even thinks of that? When I get pizza, I don't think, what sauce can I put on top of this?
Exactly. I will say that there's a lot of Europeans that are probably doing this all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the big storylines. Did you see, like, Europeans were getting pulled out of line?
Yes.
And getting in trouble because they were trying to, like, smuggle ranch back?
TSA was like, you can't do this. I don't understand how ranch... How has ranch not gotten to Europe? Like, what? It's 2026. They don't
It's going to now.
Right. I mean, it would...
I would say if you want a good investment... Invest in ranch companies because they're about to introduce a whole huge massive market because you have a whole bunch of Europeans that just fell in love with it that are going to be looking for it.
I have really enjoyed those videos of like European people eating American snacks for the first time. And it's just like a timeline cleanse for me. Just give me something happy on social media.
Yeah, my favorite quote that I've seen from this World Cup is not from any of the players or announcers. It was a Scottish fan in Boston that was interviewed, and he had just—I don't remember what he had just eaten, but he had just eaten. It might have been like a Philly cheese or something, even though he was in Boston. But it was something very American, and he said, "I understand why Americans are fat now."
Yeah, like it's look, we got snacks. We got a lot of problems in America. Snacks ain't one of them. Strawberry React says, better than ketchup, my ex-husband and my daughter's family are all Mexican and they eat ketchup on pizza. There's already ketchup on pizza. It's tomato sauce.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of what the sauce is. Ketchup is fat sauce with vinegar added, essentially.
I would not even think to do that. I've never tried it, so I can't say it's bad, but again, I don't add sauce to my pizza. I just get the kind of pizza that I want to eat. If I want buffalo pizza, I get buffalo pizza. I don't get regular pizza and put buffalo sauce on it.
But yeah.
That's just
me. That made me think, because we get pizza a lot at work. And there is a buffalo chicken pizza that's extremely popular. And yes, I eat it because it's quite good. And what they do is it's buffalo sauce with the cheese and the chicken. And then they do a ring of ranch on it, but it's very like limited. Like it's not a ton of ranch and I don't really notice it, but I guess thinking about it, I have had ranch on pizza because it came that way.
Yeah. You're a giant hypocrite.
Yeah.
All right. We've got plenty more, including the 49ers topic that you would punt into the sun forever, which I'm very interested to hear your answer on this one.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
Next up in the fill in the blank question, 11, one 49ers topic I would like to punt into the sun forever is what?
Injury concerns.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that's kind of a cop out, but it's one of those like, okay, you weren't expecting that answer. But once it's said, it's like, well, yeah, of course, I'm sick of having what's the biggest. I mean, I already said it. The biggest story every single year for a decade now going into training camp is how healthy are the Niners? I'm sick of it.
I was thinking more like,
I know,
thing that's debated among fans or talked about.
Oh, well, there's lots of those. Brandon Ayuk this year, obviously, I'm ready to be done with that one. Best shape of his life is a generic one that's NFL wide that I would love to punt into the sun.
Damn it, that okay. Well, then I'm making a quick addition. The 49ers player this year that will be in the best shape of their life is
Upton Stout. They've already posted the video, it's already started.
Oh, I think it's gotta be an older guy.
Now that, or it's gonna be like Jair Brown or you know, one of the safeties. Yeah. They're gonna try to talk up by saying that.
That's a pretty good one. It could be Jair Brown, or maybe it'll be like a Nick Sakel, right? Oh, Nick Sakel changed up his training regimen this year.
Or Nick Martin, somebody like that. I could see
that would be a good one for the chat.
Would actually, if they're looking to trade a linebacker, Nick Martin would be like, oh, that's the way that they're talking him up. Oh, he's in the best shape of his life, hint hint.
Right, go get him from us. My topic that I'd like to punt into the sun forever is that the idea that Kyle Shanahan has been figured out, that his offense is old and stale and all of that garbage, even though last year the 49ers had one of the best offenses in the entire league, even though last year the 49ers did not punt for an entire month. Remember when that happened? I don't know. There's still people that continue this narrative that somehow Kyle Shanahan has been figured out, that he makes life harder for Brock Purdy, which I don't understand at all. It's amazing how Kyle is the reason for Brock Purdy's success, but also making life more difficult for Brock Purdy. It's amazing how he could accomplish both of those things at the same time. I mean, last year, the 49ers scored 25.7 points per game with backup quarterbacks, backup receivers, backup tight ends. Didn't matter. They still put up numbers. They were still top 10 in yards also, I believe. I don't get it. I don't understand why people continue to say this. Is it just because the 49ers don't win every game? I have no idea. They had no running game last year. They were number one in third down conversion efficiency, number one in EPA per play on third downs inside field goal range, and number one in red zone offense. How is that a guy that has been figured out? Yet this is still a narrative that persists.
Okay, you talking about Kyle Shanahan, his offense being figured out, made me think of what the actual best answer is for this.
All right.
It is Mike McDonald knows, or not Mike McDonald.
Mike McDaniel?
Oh, no, I said it right. Sorry. I'm second guessing myself. Mike McDonald has Kyle Shanahan's number.
Oh,
I want that one punted into the sun forever. I want the Niners to go out and beat the Seahawks first time they play and end that narrative of Kyle Shanahan's been figured out by him. He just can't beat that guy. Even though, yes, they beat the Seahawks week one last year, but it wasn't because of offense. You know, I'm talking, I want them to go out and beat the Seahawks by scoring 30 plus. End that narrative.
Well, that will certainly be satisfying. That's for sure. I mean, I would please.
Especially with how cocky the Seahawks fans are this, and how much crap talking in particular to the Niners because what they did to them in the playoffs.
They've earned it. They won the Super Bowl.
Nothing to say to it. Like, I've seen comments on different places and stuff like Reddit and articles on The Athletic and stuff where, like, Niner fans try to talk back. No, you just shut up and you take it because there's nothing to say right now.
Yes, exactly. That's what sucks about it, is that you have to just shut up and hope that the team takes advantage of their chance next year. Corey Coleman in the chat says Kyle has gotten away from the run game is why that is a talking point, which is true. I mean, Christian McCaffrey last year, I believe, was one carry away from Frank Gore's single season record for most attempts in a year. So I don't know about that narrative. In fact, I was a little frustrated with the running as much as they did last year, considering how poorly it went. But that's okay. But I still choose the Kyle Shanahan's been figured out as the narrative that I would like punted into the sun forever. This one, I think, is going to cause a stir, Levin. The change you would like to see the Gold Standard Podcast Network make this year is what?
The amount of followers we have on YouTube.
There we go. Let's get over 60,000 people. Come on. That's a goal I'd like to see.
I mean, I could be selfish and say the amount of super chats we get, but I'm not here for the money.
You're here because you're my client.
I'm glutton for punishment.
One change I'd like to see the Gold Standard Podcast Network make this year is a newsletter, which is something that I'm going to add this year once we get to training camp. It's not going to be very long.
I see. This is an ad. That's what this topic is.
It's not going to be very long, but it will be something that comes. I'm thinking Friday night, Saturday morning around there, maybe Saturdays, because we usually don't have a show on Saturdays. Just some quick thoughts by me, some best stuff of the week that you might have missed, and some nuggets about the upcoming game or training camp storylines, that sort of thing. So, that'll be happening. I'll be rolling that out soon. There'll be a sign-up link if you're interested, and we can do all that. That is the change that I'm going to make this year. Yes, I stuck that question in there deliberately. So what? Sue me. All right. Next topic.
Don't tempt me.
Blank will lead the 49ers in receiving yards this season.
I mean, if your answer is not Mike Evans, then you got nothing to base it on.
Well, my answer is not Mike Evans.
Yeah, and it's Hopium. You got nothing to base it on.
Well, I don't think that Evans' biggest contribution is going to be yardage. I think his biggest contribution is going to be touchdowns. I could see him having a year where he gets 700, 800 yards, but also 13 touchdowns. I think his biggest contribution is going to be near the goal line.
Yeah, I mean, that is where he is one of the best ever. But if your answer is Pearsall, well, sorry, he hasn't proven to be able to stay healthy, so that's hopium. If your answer is somebody like George Kittle, he's coming off an Achilles injury, and he's the tight end. So, again, hopium.
I think you can make the argument it's hopium, whoever you pick, because Evan himself battled injury last
year. He at least has a track record, and everybody's talking as if he, I mean, literally some of the players are saying, we've never had a wide receiver that good on this team.
Yeah, George said it. Kyle said it. There was actually an article on ESPN.com that talked about how Kyle Shanahan has never had a receiver as tall as Mike Evans before and how that might, you know, lead to some things. I do think it's going to be Pearsall. Maybe, yeah, he's got to stay healthy, obviously. So does everybody. And again, it might be less than 1,000 yards. We've seen that. We certainly saw that last year. Christian McCaffrey led everybody in receiving with 924. I'll tell you this. It better not be Christian McCaffrey this year. Please, yeah. God, no. And that's no knock on Christian McCaffrey. I just want a wide receiver to do the main bulk of the work in the passing game and not a running back.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, if everybody stays healthy amongst the receiving room and George Kittle, there's a decent chance there is no 1,000-yard receiver because they do have enough depth there.
Mm-hmm.
And Purdy isn't necessarily somebody that forces it to a single player. That's why you had a Kendrick Bourne back-to-back 140-yard games last year. He goes to who's open. He's not this is my guy and I'm just going to keep forcing him.
Unless it's the Super Bowl and it's third down right after the two-minute warning.
I mean, that's what the Niners do now in the Super Bowl. Hey, we're going to just keep forcing this wide receiver. Corner fade. Oh, it didn't work. Let's do it again.
Oh, man. Now you're taking me back to the Harbaugh years. Did you see Joe Flacco said, oh, my Super Bowl trophy and my Super Bowl MVP, they don't really mean anything to me. I was like, okay, well, can you give them back then? Yeah. We'll take them, Joe.
And the correct response to that answer is, what do you mean they don't mean anything to you? They made you $100 million.
Yeah, that's true. That's 1,000% true. That's a great point by you. All right, next one. This I'm interested to hear your answer on. The 49ers single season record that will fall this year is blank.
None. Why? I don't think they're going to. What single season record do you have? Like, the most likely is probably passing yards because Purdy did set it, but he didn't set the bar crazy high. And there is a 17th game now. So if he stays healthy, he will likely set that. But there's no obvious answer to this.
Right. That's the point of the question. I don't want
to. Most teams don't set a single season record for their team.
The passing record right now is 4,280 yards that Brock set in 2023 in 16 games. He did that.
Exactly.
That's 267.5 yards per game. So you throw in an extra game there, obviously it'll be less. It's very reachable. The 49ers actually have one of the lowest single season passing yardage records of all the franchises. Yep. So, you know, some other teams have obviously Patriots and Broncos and Colts and stuff like that is super high. So it's definitely attainable. The one number I looked at was total points scored in a year. The record for the 49ers is 505. The 94 Niners scored, obviously, in 16 games. The Niners have an extra game, so that obviously helps with that. It would be more than 20.
Just 130.
It would be more than 29 points a game. It's a lot. But we've seen the 49ers score. I think they scored that around 2019. It was close to that. So it's not like completely out of the question. Depending on the health of the guys the 49ers play this year, could it happen? That's the one. You're right. There's no obvious one. So I was trying to think of one, and that's one that popped in my head. Like, if everything goes right, it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, possible, yes, is the best way to put it. 2019, I think they averaged 29.2 points per game. And to get this, they need like 29.6, I think, would be about the number that they need. So can they average 30 points per game? Yeah, if they're healthy. I would argue last year's team would have averaged 30 points per game if they stayed healthy.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this. Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard podcast.
Shady Sizzler says Steve Young's passing touchdown record of 36. If Evans is really good around the goal line, and if the running game doesn't improve, they absolutely could. I think that's the sort of recipe that would lead to that record falling.
Yeah. In order for him to break the 36, Mike Evans has to have 10-plus touchdowns. If Mike Evans doesn't have 10-plus touchdowns, there's no chance of that record. The path to that record is Mike Evans is unstoppable in the red zone. So the red zone issues are solved, and there's an extra 5-6 touchdowns from normal years because they don't have the red zone issues where they're settling for field goals, which then also comes with, if they do that, they're probably going to set that points record.
Yeah, that's the other part of it too, is how you can't be settling for field goals. How often does Kyle Shanahan go for it on fourth down in the red zone too could be a factor. Smells like foot in here. I clicked on the wrong one. Says Purdy is not throwing 36 touchdowns ever. Not once in his career will he ever throw that many. He's already thrown 31. So yes, it would be the most he's ever thrown, but it's not like a crazy amount more. You know, I watched, I don't know why I did this. Yesterday, I watched that Bears-Niners game again, and they had a stat in there because remember the week before that game, they played the Colts and Purdy threw 5 touchdowns. And the stat was that was the most a 49ers quarterback had thrown in a single game since Steve Young threw 6 in the Super Bowl 30 years ago. I was like, holy God, that is a long time.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And I actually had that thought today because it actually came through soccer because Zinedine Zidane has been named the French coach. And I was like, how old is he? And I did that math and I was like, well, he retired like 20 years ago. If he retired at 38, that makes him 58, which then immediately made me go, oh, hell, Steve Young retired much earlier than that. God, Steve Young's old.
Hey, don't be saying that. We're trying to get Steve Young on the show.
It makes me old, too.
Well, yeah, that's true. Somebody mentioned George Kittle being close to a tight end record. That is true. He needs, I think, 3 more touchdowns to pass Vernon Davis for most by a 49ers tight end.
Not single season, though.
Right. That's why I didn't pick it. Vernon Davis has 55. Kittle has 52. There's no reason why he shouldn't break that. And Fred Warner will break Patrick Willis' record for career tackles by a 49er, assuming he doesn't have his ankle twisted off again.
Yeah. And what's crazy is Fred Warner, I believe, has already played more seasons than Patrick Willis, which just shows you how ridiculous he was.
Yeah, that is true. Next topic, blank is the current non-starter that will become one due to injury this year.
Take your pick with this team. I mean, it can come anywhere. I mean, Mac Jones is an obvious one. Whatever backup running back you want is probably the safest bet because after all of the crazy touches that he had last year, Christian McCaffrey making it through the season isn't something I would bet on. That's for sure. But I think you're talking about somebody that rises to be a starter, doesn't necessarily, you know, isn't that good, but gets it and you're like, whoa, didn't see that coming. That guy's good. To me, I would say that maybe Romelu Hyde.
Ooh, that's a good one.
If there's more opportunity there for him to pass rush and play more downs, he has the type of speed pass rush that if the injury is Mykal Williams to where you still have Nick Bosa over there getting attention and you still have OC getting attention, I could see him getting 10 sacks. I think there is a chance that he gets 10 sacks as a rookie just because there is a chance for opportunity and he brings something none of the others do. To where when they're trying to run away from the other side, they run to him.
That could be a very good pick by you. Again, watching that Bears game, the last play of the game is Bryce Huff coming off the edge. And he's in the backfield so fast that he forces Caleb Williams to have to scramble out and he disrupts the whole play, basically. And then he chases Williams down, too, because he's fast enough to do that and eventually led to the incompletion that ended the game. That one is a good one. And then I will pick one of the young wide receivers, whether it's Stribling or Cowing, possibly Jordan Watkins, but I doubt it. Because what I think could happen is Kirk will get the initial nod as the slot receiver, and I think one of those guys could pass him up during the year. Now, they have to stay healthy, obviously, and healthy early on. But I think that Christian Kirk, you know, that Kyle loves him and Brock loves him and all that stuff. But I don't look at his job as very, very secure.
Yeah, I mean, I said 2 months ago that he's probably going to be my pick for surprise cut. He might get kept because of injuries, because it is the wide receiver room we're talking about after all. But to me, the over under for yards on Kirk this year, I would put it like 200. You know, that's not a, I'm not betting the over on his catches or his yards. I would say one of the best bets out there is probably the under on his receiving yards. I don't know what his over under is. I haven't looked, but I would guess it's probably somewhere in the 300s or 400s. And I think there's a very real chance he doesn't see the field much at all. And there's a chance he doesn't make the team just because what does he bring? Like, he's not what he once was. And if Stribling is for real, you already have Mike Evans. You already have Pearsall. You already have Stribling. Then do you need to keep your fourth wide receiver being an older vet that's not what he once was? I mean, you could argue because of injury history, the Niners would be a fool to let him go because, you know, even if he's going to be your fourth or fifth, he's probably going to be a starter at some point.
Who is more likely to get cut, in your opinion, Christian Kirk or DeMarcus Robinson?
DeMarcus Robinson, his contract. He's more expensive.
Man, I thought he was going to be so much more of a contributor last year. I was dead wrong about outside of the one game against the Colts. And then he ended up having a decent game against Philly too, in the playoffs, but I really thought he was going to do more. That obviously did not come to fruition. Let's end it on a good note, Levin. Oh, of course, I got to click the wrong one.
Good note. Yeah. That was a good note. Messing up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The best alcoholic drink on a hot day is what?
Yeah, this is not a question for me. I don't drink, especially if it's hot and I'm in the heat. I don't want alcohol. No, thanks. I'm already sweating.
I don't know what it is about me, but like in the summer when I mow the lawn, I want a beer right after that more than anything else in the world. Like, please let me just sit on my deck and drink a beer and look at my beautifully mowed lawn and, you know, be suburban dad. That is what, on a hot day, you give me a cold beer, as Howdy 49er says, absolutely. Bo Adams says all of them. Also acceptable answer, Bo.
You're talking to somebody that 95% of his drinking happens during football. I had a bottle of Di Serono. I think I bought it around October. I still have some in it. I have since 2026, I think I bought 2 6-packs at the same time, and I still have some of them. So you're talking to somebody that I probably have like 30 alcoholic drinks in the entire year, and almost all of them come as 2 to 3 drinks on a football Sunday.
Yeah, I drink way more during the 17 weeks of the regular season than I do throughout the year, but I do like a cold beer after that. Niner Faithful 8080 says, what kind of cold beer? I'm not picky. I got to tell you, the only beer I really don't like is Boston Lager by Sam Adams. I don't really know why. It's just not my favorite.
I hate Miller. Miller Lite is disgusting. Heineken tastes like a skunk.
Oh, I don't mind. You know, I go Heineken, Haagen-Dazs, Hot Wings for the opening Sunday every year, the Triple H. That's my go-to.
Yeah, no.
Someone smells like foot in here says kombucha. Just get out. You might have to be banned for that. Smells like foot. That is just not.
Maybe that's why his feet are so stinky.
Yeah, that's true. Who knows? All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching. Please like this video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you so much to our Golden Ticket members, our YouTube channel members. We appreciate you. There are so many of you. We cannot put you on the scroll. I got to update that graphic because we've even gotten a few more since then, which I will do. But thank you, thank you, thank you. We greatly appreciate it. It's less than $3 a month. You get custom emojis. You get membership badges. You get priority comment response. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. Training camp starts this weekend. Get excited. We'll talk to you tomorrow.